Let's get started. I'm going to ask God. God, set aside everything I think I know about you, God, the steps, recovery, the big book, what's best for me, what's best for others. Especially let go of all my old ideas so I can live on your truth. Help me carry your message tonight. Amen. Okay. Saturday, I won't be here. I'm picking up the grandkids. I don't know if I can drive, but I'm going. And Grady, you're going to open up?
Yep.
Yes. And somebody do the meeting, and it'll be great. I'll be here Sunday night. No. Tonight we're on fear on step four. We finished the resentment inventory. Last week I did a 30-minute summary of resentments in step four, and somebody said it was good. I hope it was helpful. The one thing, though, was I felt nervous because I always like to leave some time for people to talk or else they're going to get mad at me, and I'm a people pleaser and I don't want anybody mad at me, so I've got a lot of character defects. Anyway, I didn't spend enough time on the last couple lines on page 67. This is the final instructions on the fourth column, and this is where I looked at my mistakes, not my part, because if I say my part, it means they had a part in it. Remember, we're putting out of our minds the wrongs they have done. We're looking at our mistakes. And so we look at our mistakes on that second paragraph on 67. Resolutely look for my own mistakes. What did I actually do to cause the resentment? The first thing I did was I got angry. I don't have to get angry, right? The second thing I did was I'm always inconsiderate because I don't have to, people are all spiritually ill just like me, I don't have to get upset or be angry. And then what actions did I actually take that caused this? And when you look at your four step, you'll see that you took actions and they retaliated. And when you write the cause of what they did, it's how they retaliated. But then when you look at the fourth column, you see how you set the ball rolling a lot of times. And then it says the four questions: where had I been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened? And where had I been? Those are my character defects. Those are the exact nature of my wrongs that I want God to remove. I don't want to be a selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened person. And especially fear. There's fear behind all my resentments. Always some fear that causes me to be angry. And so you write that down. That's what I call the fifth column. You can do it any way you want. Doesn't matter. As long as you can see your mistakes, what you did, and where you were, these character defects came into play. And then we have the spiritual checklist, and you can go down that. Judgment, intolerance, impatience, self-pity, the whole deal. It's not pretty. And though a situation not been entirely my fault, we tried to disregard the other person involved entirely. And it says, where was I to blame? What did I actually do? What was my blame? So you could do your mistakes, where you were selfish, dishonest, inconsiderate, and self-seeking, and where were you to blame? And if you do that, you'll be able to see the truth about the resentment, and then usually you owe these people amends. That you came in hating and now you have to make amends to them. That's the son of a gun, you know. You have these people you've hated for years and now you see them differently and you've been able to forgive them with the prayers that you've done before the fourth column, and now you see your faults and you see how you harm them. That's a tremendous change in the way you look at people. And now you need to know how to do that so you can do it today. When something bothers you, somebody bothers you or disturbs you, you do the same four things, and you can usually do them pretty quickly and get undisturbed. The whole point of this four-step is not to do it right or to get a good grade. It's to how to establish a relationship with your Creator and how to maintain a relationship with my Creator. And so the Creator can direct my life, and then I can follow his directions and carry out his will. I can't do that if I'm angry or disturbed, right? Now the steps are not the deal. The steps are the steps to the deal, and the deal is the relationship with God. We don't talk about that enough. The steps are the actions I take to maintain this relationship where he's God and I'm his son and he's directing my life and I'm obedient to him. The other thing we don't talk enough about is obedience. I want to be a surrender to God to be obedient to him. We say it nicely. We say, knowledge of his will for me and the power to carry that out. But what we really want is to be obedient to God's will. Obedience to him because he loves me and I want to show my love for God by being obedient to him. I don't know if any of that makes sense. And it's, does it? Yes? All right. Stu says yes. All right. And it says, we place them before us in black and white. We admitted our wrongs honestly, and we're willing to make these matters straight. So when you're doing the fourth column and fifth column, you can see your wrongs. You can see how you harm people. You can see your character. You don't want to be that person anymore. And you don't do this so you beat yourself. You do this so you can see the truth. Because the person who did all the things that we wrote down is not the person God created, it's the person I created, and I don't want to create that person anymore. I don't want to be that person. Now, I could say that every day, every minute, and still be that person in my mind and react, but then I do these steps to get unblocked. We want to be unblocked, we want to open the channel, and we want to allow God to direct our lives. So when you've done this work, by page 67, there's no reason why I should get upset or bothered by anybody anymore. Now, that doesn't mean I won't, but there's no reason to. There's no reason to. And so the more you keep doing this, you get tired of doing the columns, and you just say, I don't want to be disturbed. And no matter what they've done, you say they're just human beings, and that's just the way it is. And so you can do this very quickly because you realize that there's nothing that you really have to get angry at. Anger is a choice. And I like this book by Dr. Paul. You can get it on Amazon, those listening on the podcast. It says, You Can't Make Me Angry. It's a fantastic short book. And it describes how anger is a choice. And I don't have to choose it. Now, we can react with the emotion of being angry, but we don't have to choose to stay angry. You see the difference? And so how do I know that it's wrong to be angry? Because I'm disturbed and that's how God disciplines me. Now before I came in here, it was all their fault. So all my anger was justified. Did anybody have justified anger when they came in here? Of course. But now I realize that it's never justified. It's never justified. Now, people do things that are not excusable, but I can forgive them. I don't have to excuse people's behavior, but I can forgive them and I don't have to be disturbed. They are who they are. Okay, we're done with resentment. Now we're gonna look at fear. The second thing we look at in the fourth step is fear. Now we had a lot of fear with our resentments and we talked about that. Now we're gonna just look at fear in general. I may finish this page, it's 1, 2, 3, 4 paragraphs on fear, and then we're going to do the second step proposition exercise on fear. And the reason it's called the second step proposition is because in the chapter to We Agnostics, where the second step is discussed, there's a question. It says, when I'm crushed by a self-imposed crisis, I could not postpone or evade. Anybody ever have that? I had to fearlessly face the proposition that God is everything or is nothing. What is my choice to be? Now, how does that relate to fear? Well, it relates to fear because if I choose myself, I'm going to be afraid. Whatever I'm choosing to run or manage in my life will cause fear. It's that simple. And so that exercise is very helpful. I've gone through it a million times, not a million, but quite a bit. The handout for those listening is on the site. And I'll have the handout for you guys. It's powerful. So it says, notice that the word fear is bracketed alongside the difficulties with Mr. Brown, Mrs. Jones, the employer, and the wife. That's from the example on page 65. And he's afraid of Mr. Brown because Mr. Brown's paying attention to his wife. That makes sense, right? And that he's afraid she's going to take her away. And he's afraid of Mr. Brown because he told my wife about my mistress. Well, then she's gonna react. And you see, and then Brown may get my job. You see how fear is intertwined with all of our anger. And it's usually things that we did that we're afraid of the consequences. And so we get mad at the people because of the things we did. It sounds crazy, but that's how I lived my whole life. I don't want to do it anymore. So it says this short word, it's a short word, it's a four-letter word, somehow touches about every aspect of my life. Anybody agree with that? My whole life, fear. And I can be afraid today, but I choose not to be. I really have grown in that over the last few years. I don't want to waste any more time on fear. It was a complete waste of time. I spent my whole life being afraid of everything. It's an evil and corroding as thread. So you have a thread. It says the fabric of my existence was shot through with it. So when you come to AA and you're on your four step, we hand you this tapestry. We take you in the back room and we take this tapestry out, and it has your name on it, and it shows your life. And through this beautiful tapestry is this evil and corroding thread that's destroying the whole tapestry. And that's fear. That's what it did to my life. Is that funny, Grace? It's true. Anybody ever look at it that way? When you look back on your life and you had this tapestry that you recreated of my life story, it was full corroded with fear. And if I hadn't been afraid, then I wouldn't have taken the actions, and then the picture would have looked a lot different. And it says, fear set in motion, trains of circumstances, just not one, but trains of them, like a whole railway station of circumstances which brought me misfortune, which I felt I didn't deserve. Isn't that a great line? The fear set in motion trains of circumstances which brought me misfortune, and then I said I didn't deserve it. It was unfair. Anybody say that? It's not fair. So I wrote, circumstances are the result of fear setting things in motion which brought me harm. The fear started it all. And it all starts with fear. On page 62, it says we were driven by 100 forms of fear. So I don't know about you, but I would wake up every morning and get on the Michael car. And I thought I was driving the Michael car through the day, but fear was driving it. I was never in control of my life. Fear controlled my life. You see, I never really had any power to run my life. It was run by fear. Now, I don't know about you, but it didn't work for me. And I don't want it to do it today. I refuse to live that way. And so we're going to learn the prayers for fear, but we had to see how it killed us. And remember, fear is just choosing I'm everything and God's nothing. It's not that complicated. So if I choose I'm everything, I'm going to be afraid of everything. I'm going to make decisions to fix the fear and harm myself and others. It says, did not we ourselves set the ball rolling? So when you come in here, you have a list of all the reasons you got here, right? And they may make sense in your mind till you actually write them down, look at them with somebody. But fear started the whole thing. Now, what did fear have to do with actually drinking alcohol? Well, fear caused me to be uneasy, to be irritable, to be restless. It caused me to be scared of the way the world was. I was in conflict with everybody and everything, and I didn't like that feeling of uneasiness, and I drank. Now, I don't know about you, but alcohol fixed the fear. And it says it made me free of fear. It gave me a peace that I didn't have without alcohol. So it became very powerful. And so when we get to the ninth step promises, it says we will know peace, right? We will lose fear of people and of economic insecurity. We lose it, and it just goes away. And I set the ball rolling. Good job. So if you get mad at yourself when and you look at your fourth step, which is normal, you know, why did I do these things? It's very simple. I had the wrong manager, me. And I lived under the delusion that I could wrest satisfaction and happiness by running my life. That was a bad one, by the way. That's a bad delusion. And I had that, and then I had fear. So you see how it's all related? And when we're afraid, we don't like the way the world is, and we drink over it. And if we don't drink, we're miserable. And the other thing I did, I don't know about you, but whenever I was afraid of something, I would try to take an action to fix it. And it always made it worse. And the fears weren't even true. So I tried to manipulate a situation that I had in my head to take actions to fix the fear, that these people would react to me, and I'd say, oh my God, how'd that happen? You know, why are they doing this to me? I don't know if that makes sense, but it's the way I live my life. I'm gonna fix the fear. This person doesn't like me, so I'm gonna make them like me. And I'm gonna take these actions, and it was just a mess. Anyway, clashed with stealing. What did fear steal from me? It stole my whole life. It stole the tapestry. It stole my peace of mind. It stole my relationship with God, and it really caused me to harm people I loved and to make a lot of bad decisions. When we say we made decisions based on self, which causes us to be hurt, the decisions were almost always made out of fear, right? We're afraid of something going to happen or something's going to not happen or somebody's going to take something away from us. We reviewed our fears thoroughly. We put them on paper, even though we had no resentment in connection with them. So you have resentments about people, but you have fears, fears of not having any money, not being good enough, not being loved, not having a relationship, fear of the relationship never ending, fear that it will end, your health, any area of your life. And so you write them down and you make a list of them. And we're going to see how to do that in the second step proposition exercise. And we make this card that you carry around where you have your fears and then why you haven't given that area of your life to God, and then how does God want you to be the prayer? And we'll go over that. It says, we asked ourselves why we had fear. So I'll ask people, why do you have fear? And they usually give a whole bunch of reasons. But here's the answer. Wasn't it because self-reliance failed me? That means that I relied on myself to run my life, and it failed, it didn't work, and I was afraid the whole time. So if I have fear right now, tonight, it's because I believe something that's going to happen that hasn't happened yet. I have a wrong belief about something that's not happening in the now. And it's something that I feel like I need to manage, right? And then I'm angry, I'm fearful. And so I don't have to do that. Now, when I read this the first time, I said, wow, I don't know about you, but it hit me like a brick. Self-reliance failed me. So if you're upset with yourself for the situation you're in when you come in here, well, it's simple. Fire yourself. Fire yourself. And so we got that card, remember, from God. Michael, you've made a complete mess of your life. You've harmed people. You've made a million bad decisions. You screwed up your life. Way to go, Michael. Fire yourself. Signed by God. Did anybody get that? In fact, I probably need to get more than one of those. I may need one tomorrow. And if I don't think so, my wife will tell me. And so it's true. So I forgive myself. I was not a bad person. I had the wrong manager. And I thought, I grew up with the idea when I was 4 or 5 that to be happy, I had to fix the world to get approval. And that I wasn't good enough just the way things were. And that was my whole life. And I think you'll see that when we look at fear. We'll go through this fear exercise where we look at our fears and how one leads to the other. Self-reliance was good as it went, but it didn't go far enough. Some of us had great self-confidence. Well, that's bad. I'm confident in myself. And that really caused the problem, right? The confidence in me caused the fear. And so I needed confidence in who? God. So what's the opposite of self-confidence? God confidence, trust in God. So the solution for me whenever I'm afraid is very simple. Stop trusting in you, Michael. Trust in God. Whatever you're worried about, it doesn't matter. You trust in God. You give God that area. Now, does anybody have a God box? I have a God box. Whenever I'm afraid, I used to put whatever I was afraid of in the God box. I got tired of writing it. It's usually the same things. And so I just now, when I'm afraid, I say, well, I don't need to be afraid. It's not happening right now. I don't need to worry about that. God, I trust in God. Now, I can do that today because God, I trust God. I know if I rely on him, I don't have to be afraid. Doesn't mean I'll get what I want. It has nothing to do with that. It means I don't have to be afraid. He'll take care of me. And we're going to see why in the next two paragraphs. Because self-confidence didn't solve the fear problem or any other. And when it made us cocky, it was worse. And I wrote, the more confidence I had, the more in myself, the more separation I had from God. So don't get confident by doing in yourself by doing the step work. Get confident in God. That's what we're supposed to do. So, and since we're confident in God, I trust God to go to him whenever I'm afraid or angry. You see? Because I trust God. God will take care of me. Remember, we did a third step contract. Did anybody write the contract in their book? The third step contract is that God will give me everything I need, right? If I stay close to him and do his work well. And also, God has worry, which is fear. So I give God worry, and he'll give me everything I need spiritually to deal with anything. And all I have to do is stay close to him and do his work well. And how do I stay close to him and do his work well? I work the steps, and I live in 10 and 11 and 12. So here's the deal. Two paragraphs. Perhaps there's a better way to live. Do people want a better way? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it says, for we are now on a different basis. The other basis was trusting and relying upon Michael. That didn't work. So the new basis is trusting and relying upon God. That's the whole program. We make it so complicated. You know, we have all these. And the treatment centers, I don't know what they do for 3 months because it's just trusting and relying upon God. How do you do that? The steps are to find out and break down how you haven't trusted and relied upon God, how you have had wrong thinking, and how you want to let God direct your life by letting go of all the things that you were wrong about. It's not that complicated. Trusting and relying upon God. Now, the other thing is people don't want to hear about God, right? The new people. Well, tough doo-doo. You're screwed. You're screwed. If you don't want to hear about God and you're blocked in your own mind from even hearing about God, then you're in deep doo-doo. Now, what usually happens is those people, if they get desperate enough, and their lives get bad enough, they'll say, God, help me. And they'll open their mind. So people tell you they don't want to hear about God. They're not defeated yet. They really haven't taken the first step. They don't see how unmanageable their life is. They think there's a third door. It's not alcoholic death or spiritual life. They have a third door. And we should do a third door meeting. That's what we should do. All right. I'll never finish this. We trust infinite God rather than our finite selves. Now, isn't that a good idea, to trust infinite God rather than finite self? So the whole time when I was trusting me, it was insane. I don't know about you, but I was very tired. And when I finally got down on my knees and I admitted that my life was a complete mess and I asked God to help me, I felt a sense of relief. I don't know. But I can't explain it. I just said, well, I'm done. I mean, it says we've quit fighting everybody and everything. And it says, I trust infinite God rather than... Now, in the beginning, we started with belief, second step. Remember, are we willing to believe? But now we learn to trust God. Why? Because we're seeing God work in our lives. And remember, the process of change is five simple things. Anybody want to change your life? Yes. All right, the first thing you have to do is be willing to change. Now, why do we get willing to change? Because we're desperate and we're in a pain. Then we believe we can change because we see people here change, right? We had birthday, Robert said it. If anybody doesn't believe in AA, they should have seen Robert 2 years ago. And look at him today, it's amazing. Should have seen me. All right, the third thing is we decide to change. We want to change and we make a decision. Isn't that step three? So how do we change? We do the actions of 4 and 9. We get unblocked from the things that are blocking us from God. And then we're changed. We have faith. So you start with belief, but you get trust and faith through the actions. I know if I say the fear prayer or the anger prayer, it's going to go away. I know if I turn to God and ask Him to help me and remove my character defects, they happen. It's never not happened. And so it says, we are in the world. That's what you're in the world. Anybody in the world here? We're all in the world, right? Mm-hmm. All right, good. To play the role God assigns. Doesn't that tie in with 60 to 63? We were the actor running the show. We don't want to do that anymore. We want to play the role God assigns. Now, here's the other thing. A lot of people in AA don't like the role God assigns. So they want to create a play in their head where they're unhappy about the role God gave them and everybody should feel sorry for them. You get the picture? The role God assigns is the role that we want and we should be happy with whatever it is. So people say, well, what's the role God assigned? I say, be the best human being you can be. Be loving and kind to everybody. Be the best AA member, the best dad or mom, or the best brother or sister or son. The best human being you can be that God created. And it says, just to the extent that I do as I think God would have me, to the extent that I do that, then look at the promise. And then humbly rely on him, and humility of that I have no power on my own, does he enable me to match calamity with serenity? Now that's the line. I saw those words when I was downstairs and I got the call that Curtis died. And it was 7:30 in the morning on a Sunday morning. I got the phone, they told me he died, and I saw that line. How'd that happen? That was God. It says if I play the role he assigns to the extent that I do as he would have me and humbly rely on him, I can handle calamity with serenity. Doesn't mean that you'll be happy, but you'll be able to match serenity with the calamity. You'll have a peace with God. And I'll tell you, it was true. I saw that line. And the next thing, I had 3 people from AA in my house. Isn't that something? And then when I went to the hospital to see him in the ER, I had somebody from AA right there meeting me. Isn't that a coincidence? Isn't that something? And then when I got back home, I had like 30 people from AA there in the house. He says the fellowship doesn't work, you know? Because I couldn't have done it without that. And that's God sent all those people there. And I had prepared that because I'd had relationships with these people. And so they were there when I needed them. God has a purpose. It says we never apologize to anyone for depending upon our Creator. Now, a lot of people say, oh, I'm sorry we talked about God too much. I'm sorry if we offended you. The speaker says alcoholics have been offending themselves their whole lives. Don't worry about offending them. And they're dying. So I've said, oh, I'm sorry I talked about God too much. Well, that's so ridiculous. You know, I want to make them happy. They're dying. And it says we can laugh at those who think spirituality the way of weakness because it's the way of strength. Anybody agree with that? Yes. Absolutely. The more I give up, the more humble I am, the stronger I get. The more power I have to deal with life. Because you remember, God gives me enables me to match calamity and serenity, not Michael. God's the one who gives me the power. And here, the verdict of the ages is that faith means courage. All men have courage. And I wrote, you can't have fear and trust at the same time. You can't have fear and faith at the same time. It's not possible. And so you can have courage and be afraid. You could be on the edge of a ledge and be scared and still have the courage to do it. But God gives you the trust, and you can't have fear and trust in God at the same time. And therefore, if you trust in God, you never have to be afraid. You never have to have fear anymore. Isn't that something? And that's what the God box is. Whenever you're managing your life, you're running the show, you're not trusting God in that area, get over it, Michael. Give it up. I wish I'd learned that 35 years ago. Anybody else? I wish I'd gotten AA when I was 5. I mean, really. I was spiritually ill when I was 5 years old. I was trying to manage the world so mother would love me. How ridiculous. All right. And so it says, we never apologize for God. And people who have faith trust God. So faith is trust. It's not belief. In AA, faith is trust. And it's the result of actions in a relationship. I trust God today. I have a relationship with God. We never apologize for God. And here it is. Instead, we let him demonstrate through me what he can do. I don't know any other way to say it. What if we're here today, what's my purpose is to let God demonstrate through me what he can do. I'm doing this meeting, God's demonstrating through me what he can do. This has nothing to do with Michael teaching the big book or anything. This is God. God gave me this to do, and he's directing me, and he's demonstrating through me. And that's all I need to do all day long, right? Is go to work, get up in the morning, let God demonstrate through me what he could do. And isn't that the St. Francis prayer? God, make me a channel of your peace. Mm-hmm. And what do I bring? It says, we ask him to remove our fear. Here's the prayer. It's very complicated. Look how complicated it is. God, remove my fear. But here's the, I can't say hooker anymore. Here's the warning. You have to direct. Jimmy thought that was funny. Chantel liked that. We ask him to stop it. You guys are killing me. We ask him to remove our fear, and here's the key: direct my thinking, my attention, to what he would have me be. And AA is not about right doing; it's about right being. And if I be right, then I do right. And what does that mean? If I'm being loving, then I'll do loving. If I be kind, I'll do kind. If I'm tolerant, I'll do tolerant. And so the being, and I was reading this, it was some passage of scripture this week, and the guy said, the only thing greater than right doing is right being. And isn't that what we teach? It was actually Oswald Chambers, Jim. And it was today. Right being trumps right doing. Because if you be right with God and you be as he would have you, you're going to do right. They follow automatically. And I ask him to remove my fear, so I do it whenever I'm afraid and direct my attention to how I should be. Well, what I should be is in the now and stop worrying about something as it happened. Be trusting of God. It's not that complicated. Patient that he has a plan for me. And it says, at once we commence to outgrow fear. What a great promise. So, I hope this was helpful. 4 paragraphs. And these should probably be discussed at every discussion meeting. These 4 paragraphs and the 4 on freedom from anger should be read every other day and studied because it's the deal. So next week we'll do second step proposition exercise on fear. And I'll open it up, and I'm sorry if I went a little long. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr.